This is iRadio's group chat. If you're talking about it,
we're talking about it
on iRadio.
Today on iRadio's group chat, I'm joined by Talia Kelly, who has bravely shared her experience of childhood sexual abuse on TikTok with the support of services like Barnardo's, Jigsaw, Pieta and the Rape Crisis Centre and the Guards. She's now using her voice to let other survivors know that they're not alone and that help is available. She's joining me here today to share that story with us and her message of hope as well. Talia, welcome to iRadio's group chat. First of all, thank you so much for trusting us with your story. And for listeners who might be meeting you for the first time this evening in this interview, can you tell us what you did share about your childhood on TikTok?
So I shared that when I was a younger child, between the ages of 3 and 5, I was a victim of sexual abuse. And I shared it because I know how difficult that can be for, you know, young women, young boys, that they don't know who to look up to. And I found, especially when I was trying to find other stories, I couldn't. They weren't there. And to see a familiar face talking about it, I think it makes a world of difference. Like,
it's something that, because it's such an awful thing to go through. And as I said when we met a few moments ago, I'm so sorry that she went through it. It's horrific. It's unimaginable. And because it still so awfully does happen to people, I can imagine that having someone to look up to when you're going through the recovery process is really important. But experiencing sexual abuse at such a young age, because it is incredibly traumatic, how did the trauma show itself for you as a child growing up?
For me, I was just a big ball of anger. I'd lash out, I'd throw tantrums over the slightest things. I just seemed like a very irritable child, and people couldn't understand why. There was nothing really wrong on the outside. And especially when I was in school, I didn't feel like there was anybody I could relate to. You know, it's not a story that everybody has. So I felt very different in a way, you know, and I was angry that nobody could figure out what was going on. But when I decided, okay, now is my time to tell people, everything dissipated. The anger was gone and it felt like a huge weight off my chest.
You were 14 when you chose to speak out about it for the first time, weren't you?
Yeah, I was.
What was it about that moment in time that led you to speaking out about it? Was there a lead up of events, or did you just feel like it was really time to tell someone about it?
Yeah, so I actually spoke to my younger sister about this last night. I was sat in my room and I had watched a movie, and there was loads of my childhood that I couldn't remember. There was things that were blocked out, things that didn't make sense. And it was like those montages you see in films where, like, your life flashes before your eyes and all of these things came flooding back, and I finally understood why I couldn't remember certain aspects of when I was so young. And the first person I went and told was my older brother. I rang him and I said, there's something that we need to talk about. And from there on, the support was incredible.
I know that you engaged with the likes of Barnardo's, Jigsaw, Pieta, and later the Rape Crisis Centre as well. How important were those services to you in making you feel supported and believed as well, which is so important?
They were incredible. There was no judgment. There was no pushing. They didn't force me to answer questions. You know, they really let me go at my own pace. And it was an incredible feeling. And they never made it feel like I was a child being questioned by an adult. It felt like a chat with a friend. Like, you know, it felt very normal. And it wasn't treated like it was a huge thing. It was calm, it was collected, and they interlinked with my school, so the schools were aware. So I had support all around. They were so important for me at the time.
When Tuesday got involved then, and you were making statements to the Gardaí as well, you've said in the video that you've put up on TikTok that made you feel safe. Why do you think feeling safe is so crucial in all of this when you are sharing something that's so big as a survivor?
The safe aspect of it, the Gardaí that I spoke to, they came to my home, they sat on my couch, they sat at the kitchen table, we had cups of tea. They made me feel like no matter what happened in the future, that I could always go to them, that there was always something that they'd be able to do for me, that they would keep me protected, and that was something that you can't really get from a counsellor. They can reassure you, but they can't ensure your protection. And the Gardaí and Tusla did, and that was amazing. Like,
when you had begun to access all of these supports and you'd met with the likes of the Gardaí and you felt that level of safe, looking back from that point, how did your life change? I know you said you were holding on to a lot of anger that you didn't quite understand. Would I be right in saying you nearly didn't remember what had actually happened to you when you were very young until it all came back to you all of a sudden? So when you'd kind of moved through some of that process, what was it like looking back on that person who had been living so in the dark about things?
Looking back, I have some regrets that I didn't speak sooner and kind of, you know, say that there was something wrong, there was something missing. But I mean, at the time I didn't really know, and especially because I was so young, when it was happening I didn't know that it shouldn't have been happening. But looking back at the first and second year Talia, that was just, she was just a different person. I realised that the support I got was crucial to healing and making me the person that I am now. And the change is, you can't miss it. Like, if you knew me from years back then, like, you wouldn't know who you're looking at now.
Healing seems to have been so powerful for you, and I'm so happy to see you speak with such joy about yourself now that things are so much better for you. You've chosen TikTok as a platform to share your story, of course. Why was it so important for you to open up now to the public about it?
It was so important because I didn't see people like me. And TikTok, I know especially, is where people that I used to go to school with are still following me, that I knew I'd have more of a reach. I do have a sizable following on Instagram, but I wanted people to hear my voice. I didn't want to type it and have people read it. I think when you hear it and when you see a face and you can put the name, the face, the voice together, it makes a huge difference. And it did, and I got influxes of messages and comments, and I really wasn't expecting it. I was happy just to post it and maybe 100-200 likes, a couple of comments from close family and friends, but the reach and the traction that the video got, I'm so grateful for.
Talk me through some of the messages that you've been receiving from people. Are they survivors like yourself? Are they messages of support? I'm sure they're a bit of everything.
Yeah, I'm so overwhelmed by the support. Like, I couldn't believe it. But some of the messages were people asking questions about sports for children in their family. There was victims themselves. There was people asking, you know, how do I get in contact with the Rape Crisis Centre? How do I find counselling? Do you think it was worth it? And my answer is always, yes, it's absolutely worth it. But like, the age range is from young girls to parents, and it's just incredible to see.
For anyone who might be listening to you share this story this evening, it might be carrying some similar trauma and hasn't spoken out yet, what would you want them to know?
I'd want them to know that there's no pressure. There's never a right time, there's never a wrong time. It's when you feel you're ready, that's the time to do it. You don't have to do it publicly, like me. That was something that I had mulled over doing for a very long time. And if you're younger, you don't know who to look to, there is anonymous support lines, teachers, friends, family, whoever you feel would hear you talk. And you don't have to give details, you don't have to go completely in depth. You can just say, I need help, this is what happened to me, and your life will change from there.
Finally, what change would you like to see in Ireland to better support survivors of childhood sexual abuse?
Better supports, I think, especially awareness in schools. I know it can be a hard subject to broach in schools. You know, you never know what the reaction might be. But I know when I was in school, secondary school specifically, we had a lot of talks about mental health and consent, things like that, really important things, but never things about where to go for abuse or assault or domestic violence. And for a while I was very lost. I spent nights on my phone just Googling where I could go because I didn't know. And I think it's so important for young people, because they don't know where to look at times. I think bringing people into schools, having seminars, just information provided, I would love to see that happen.
I would second that as well. It's so important what you talk about there for so many people, and I'm so glad that you found your way to support, and I hope anyone listening this evening who would be in a similar boat can find their way there as well. And thank you so much, Talia, for joining me on iRadio's group chat this evening to share your story.
Thank you for having me.
This is iRadio's group chat. If you're talking about it,
we're talking about it
on iRadio.